I love working remotely, but I also love those times where I get infused with the energy of others. Surely also very much depends on the kind of job you do. It depends on if you're an introvert or an extrovert. So there is a lot of pros and cons for both sides of it.
Welcome back to
Coach Us From Hell.
I'm your host, Lars, and today we're diving into a topic that's reshaping the modern workplace, remote culture, new challenges in a virtual world. How do we build and maintain a strong company culture when your teams are distributed? We'll be exploring the unique leadership and communication hurdles, and crucially, how to overcome them. And who better to guide us than Paulina, co-founder of Culture Code Foundation and our show's expert on company culture. Paulina, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, cool, Paulina. I'm looking forward to this because where we met, like SolveMate, the company where we actually met for the first time.
Yeah.
I joined that during COVID.
Mm.
So like that was my experience with like a complete remote culture. And what an experience it was in both good and bad. I would actually say mostly good. SolveMate was really, really good at handling that. But let's dive deep. From your perspective at Culture Code Foundation, what's one surprising thing you've learned about company culture since the massive shift to remote work?
I mean, maybe it's not that surprising, but because I see so many companies still doing a really poor job at it, I would say even after 5 years of doing this, it is maybe a bit surprising that it's still been done so badly in so many places. So if you do have a remote or a hybrid culture, culture nowadays needs way more intention and attention than ever before, because it is hard to work on maintaining a great culture in such a remote or hybrid setting, because you have to make up for things that seem completely normal when you are in an office setting, right? And I believe that many companies, when they went remote or hybrid, were confronted with the weaker sides of their cultures for the very first time, because this kind of environment exacerbated all problems that for every company, right? I'm talking cultural problems here, obviously. I'm not talking financial, economic things. And I also think that this is one of the main reasons why so many companies currently are asking their employees to return back to the office, because they still don't know how to fix what's actually wrong with their culture.
Very good point. And I see that quite a lot on LinkedIn, that people are like talking about, like you're saying, that they have to go back to the office now and so on. So it is kind of having this shift back to having everybody come into the culture, coming into the office, right?
Yes, there definitely is this shift, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Okay, Paulina, so many of our listeners are grappling with this. What do you see as the most significant and unique challenges company faces when trying to establish or maintain a vibrant culture in a fully remote or hybrid setting?
Mm-hmm. So for me, it is very clear, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this in another episode before, the fact that real connections do need physical attention and interaction is just something that we cannot deny. I'm a huge fan of hybrid and remote work. I've been working remotely and hybridly for the past 7 years, and I've actually even led teams remotely way before COVID. So I'm a huge fan of it, and I know that it works. But I also know from personal experience, and I see this time and time again, that you need at least sporadically time in person. And that is something that a lot of companies struggle with, because they jumped on the opportunity to really save money in rent, for example, and forget or neglect that even fully remote environments need to set aside dedicated time and budget for their people to meet in person. And another challenge that I see is that in this kind of environment, you need to pay even closer attention to your team's mental health when they're working remotely. Because in the thrive for effectiveness, many small moments of checking in with colleagues or teammates that would usually just happen on the fly get lost when all the interactions happen virtually. And on top of that, and that is something that super, super many companies and individuals just don't know about and ignore, is that the filters and fake backdrops in the background make it much harder for for the person you're talking to read your facial expression, to read your body language, and therefore judge your mood correctly, or actually, get a feel for what's going on with you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that is interesting.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, all of us by now, because the software just does it automatically, right? Every software does put some sort of filter on the faces, mm-hmm. and it really impacts the facial expressions. And so much of our interaction depends on reading those small cues in the facial expressions, in the body language. Uh-huh. And for example, you might have noticed that with me, my gestures are very close to my face all the time when I'm on a Zoom call, right? So yes. I would, and in an interpersonal interaction, my body language would be far further down. It would rather be on my tummy or that height of my body, right? And when I'm on a Zoom call, for everyone who's just listening to this and doesn't watch the video, my hands are above my chest and close to my face all the time. And that is an important psychological factor in here, because our reptile brain gets afraid if I can't see the hands of the person I interact with, because they could be holding a weapon. It's just super basic, archaic brain functionality.
Yeah.
And therefore, I take extra care to make sure that the people I talk to on a Zoom call can see my hands very, very frequently, so that I can
I'll
give
keep
them...
my hands like this for the rest of the episode.
So that I can give them a bit of a reinsurance.
Okay, cool. Very interesting fact. I'm going to be very suspicious where everybody I talk on from here on, if they have like a filter and I can't see the hands. It's going to be like, hey, you can't do that. I have to turn off that filter. Okay, so Paulina, beyond the obvious logistical hurdles, what are some of the less visible, perhaps emotional or psychological impacts on employees when a strong remote culture is lacking?
Yeah, I mean, I've just talked about some of those, mm-hmm. and we definitely need to watch out for burnout in remote employees, because for many of us, there is no barrier between work and private life anymore, especially when you have a small apartment and no separate home office. Simply closing a door to your work is literally impossible, and so there is a tendency to be always on amongst remote workers. And even if they are not constantly on their laptop, but this physical barrier is just not there. And that keeps your mind more attached to the work, or can do it. So that is something that you really need to watch out for. And especially for single team members, loneliness is a topic. For many of us, working colleagues have become an important part of social life. And if that happens mostly online, people can get lonely.
I I wouldn't say I basically never feel lonely in that sense. But what you're describing is basically me during COVID. Like, you know, I live alone. I have my own apartment. I have a little bit bigger apartment, so I can close my door to my bedroom. And basically where I'm sitting now, everybody can see it. It's actually also my training room, so I have all my training equipment here. But it kind of describes how I had during COVID. And I can see that, like you're saying, like for single team members, it is very important that they have some kind of life outside of this.
Yeah, and also
I've seen so many people. I do a lot of meetings with different kind of people online, especially. And I see, like you're saying, like you see that they're actually sitting in the bedroom. You can see the bed behind them, right? Mm. And I'm like, okay. So you just roll out of your chair straight into your bed. You really need to like have that separated somehow.
Yes, that's the one thing. And also not just having a life outside of that, but also to make sure that the meetings that you do have, that they also infuse some sort of interpersonal things. And it's not just about efficiency and getting things done, but that it's also about connecting with each other. I think that is also crucial. But we'll get to that a little bit later.
So from your experience, what are some of the most common mistakes leaders or companies make when they first transition to or actually try to manage virtual collaboration and culture?
So the thing that I've seen the most is people trying to treat remote just the same way they do as they treat in office, so that they don't think about the things that we've already discussed, how the fusion of personal life and work life influences your employees. Then it's a lot about communication, because if you do communicate this the exact same way, and we will dive into this later, as you would in an in-office situation, that also poses threats and challenges. And what I've seen, especially in hybrid environments, if you treat remote employees differently than in-office employees, especially when it comes to promotions or raises, that can completely undermine your entire culture.
So we often hear about, I think it's called Zoom fatigue and the pressure of digital presenteeism. How do these phenomena reflect deeper missteps in adapting to virtual work culture?
So for me, especially the digital presenteeism is usually a sign that you already had the presenteeism culture in place to start with, right? I mean, I've worked for employers where I had to go into work every day, 2 hours back. Say I was commuting, it was 2 hour commute in the morning, 2 hour commute in the evening, and then I had a nine hour office day. And on my commute, I also worked, but for everyone in the office, I was only present there for 9 hours. And because it was a high scale startup, everyone was like, Paulina just doesn't work enough. Because they didn't see the 4 additional hours that I worked every hour, every day, because I just wasn't in the office. So if you have had this kind of culture before, in terms of we very clearly notice how much time everyone is working, and you know me, that usually also goes hand in hand with my big friend, micromanagement, then that will show up in a remote culture as well. So that is usually an old problem that you just translate into a virtual age. And there is this beautiful saying that is, if you just digitalize a shitty process, you will have a digitalized shitty process. So you have to, everything you switch from fully in office to a remote or hybrid setting, you will need to assess what is actually working in this kind of environment. You can't just do the exact same thing that you would do in office. And for me, for example, one crucial point that you need to avoid is make sure that you don't do hybrid meetings, unless for town halls or like short updates, like the 5-minute meetings or so. But if you have longer meetings where you really want to come to a decision or a conclusion or sort things out, that should either be fully remote, so everyone working on their laptops, or it should be fully in person. Because, I mean, we all know the situations, right? Either you are the person who's transported into the big conference room and everyone is looking at the big screen and nobody can really see you and you can't really hear them and they get to work really closely together and you're like the odd one out. That is a really bad situation for the remote person joining this meeting in this way. Or everyone is sitting in the same meeting room and they all have their separate laptops open. I'm just staring at the laptop and the camera in the laptop. And I'm like, sorry, now we have an in-person meeting and there is still no real human connection because we don't look each other in the eye. We don't interact with each other. We only interact with our computers and our cameras. So either or is not a really good thing. So that is one major part. Make sure that for bigger meetings, you do either or, not a mixed version. And since you specifically spoke about the Zoom fatigue, let me take you back to the pre-COVID times, right? As office workers, we always used to stare at a screen unless we were in a meeting, especially when we're in sales, right? We would see our clients in person, we would talk to them face to face. And now, basically, since all of these meetings also take place online, you don't do anything but staring at the camera and the screen all day long. So there is definitely a clear biological component because your eyes just get tired. And what, on top of that, when you're staring at a screen, it is so much easier to get distracted, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody fully gets if you're just making notes to the meeting or if you're actually on Amazon and then you get the blinking of Slack and here Teams and here Google alerts you to a new email and so on and so forth. So that also adds into the Zoom fatigue because your brain always has to process so much more information than it would have in a face-to-face situation. So a clear recommendation here is keep those things in mind. Come up with great ideas how to infuse more life and personality in your meetings and make sure that you ensure that people deactivate their notifications and find ways to get them away from the screen. Like, for example, I don't know if you recall that, but we used at SolveMate we used to do coffee walks. So we would do our short check-in meetings on the phone but while we were out walking. So everyone was doing their own walk, but we were talking together, but nobody was looking at a screen. We were outside, we were in the sunlight, we were in the green, and I love that. And you can do breathing exercises, especially in the morning together with your team, where you get people animated to get up, stand up, not just sit down, where you animate them to actually close their eyes. That's also, by the way, a fantastic way to creating trust with each other. If you get your team to close their eyes in front of each other, that is a huge trust builder. But don't force them to. Just...
I would say for me, this is like just a low level thing, but just to kind of add on to what you're saying is we are doing this virtually. For me, one thing that I've learned when we're doing these podcasts is I have to close down everything on my screen.
Yes.
So I close, even though I put like no notifications, I still close all tabs on my computer. I close my Slack, I close my email, I close everything.
Amazing.
Down. So basically on my screen here, I can see the scripts that we're using and I can see you and I on the screen, and that's it. I have no distractions. Amazing. I'm turning off my phone as well, because I know myself, like I have this popcorn brain. If I see my phone blink or I can see a Slack message over here on the screen, it will like get my attention right away. Yes, I'm the worst person as keeping focus on something for a long time. Just doing these podcasts is like a big learning for me.
Challenge. But honestly, I think that is not a you thing. I think that is a very common thing. That it's super, super easy to get distracted. And my pro tip, by the way, that I've been doing like since day three after going on remote and Zoom calls, etc., turn off your own picture for yourself. In most of the apps, so Google Meet, Zoom, Teams, there are buttons that allow you to still send your video to other people, but turn it off for yourself. Because that way, we are all human beings. We all are a little bit vain. We all have a little bit of ego. And it is a very human thing. And all of us do it, I can assure you. And that has nothing to do if you think you're super pretty and amazing. It is a human thing. You will watch yourself. It is just what's happening. And as soon as you watch yourself, you're not fully there and you're not fully focused on the person you're talking to. And that obviously exacerbates the fact that I mentioned before that due to filters, etc., you don't necessarily see so much of the facial expressions and the gestures of the person you're talking to, because you're just not even looking at them anymore. You're just looking at yourself. So that is my biggest tip to creating more human connection, is disconnect from yourself. don't treat your bloody camera as a mirror. It's not.
It is nuts. So, Kalina, on the flip side, what are some of the cornerstone best practices for building a cohesive and engaging virtual culture?
Yeah. So for me, the most important thing is investing in face-to-face time. I know this sounds counterintuitive, but it is the most important thing from my perspective to make sure that for the time that people don't see each other, they actually have this real interpersonal connection that they can build on. So you can, for example, invest the money that you're saving in rent in organizing regular in-person meetings. You can do this for specific teams or teams that collaborate with each other. You can do it for the full company. At SolveMate, we met up with the full company once every quarter. And for a week, like not just for 1 or 2 days, but for a full week, so that we could really work together, collaborate together for some major time. And something that I would always do is take special care to make sure you bring together a team when you're onboarding new colleagues. So for example, in the first week when somebody's just started, make sure that the entire team meets in person for this first full week of the new colleague. Another thing that I can really strongly recommend is avoid meeting marathons. Make sure that meetings are used less frequently. So really just for things where, not just for updates, but for things where you really need to make decisions, or that you use specifically to create creative settings, new solutions, or human interactions. And make sure that you don't bam, 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 stack them right behind each other. And lastly, and that closes the loop to the problems that a company basically moves from their in-office culture into a remote culture, make sure that you focus on outcomes over hours. Because in a hybrid or fully remote environment, trust is your most important building block. It is always important, but especially in this kind of setting. If you keep micromanaging attendance because you don't trust that your people will actually be working when they're at home, you will disengage your people faster than you count to three.
And I have encountered that thing quite a lot when we're talking about working from home, because I like working from home, and I'm so much more productive when I actually work from home than in an office. I actually think there are more distractions in the office than if I'm sitting at home. So I really prefer it. But every time I've worked in a company where it's allowed to work from home, it always, like, over time comes down to people want you to come back to the office. And if you kind of just poke them on why do you want that, it comes down to they say, like, oh, but I think people are more productive when they're sitting in the office. It's like, no, because everybody's chit-chatting. You know, everybody comes down, hey, Lars, how are you doing? Hey, you know, should we go get a coffee? Or, hey, I have a question for you. And for me, sitting at home, no distractions. Put some music in my ear and I just go. For me, it's so much easier.
And that is, I mean, it's the same for me. I also get it that especially I know a lot of parents who love going into the office because they don't have the sick kids at home or or anything. So it obviously very much depends on your personal situation as well. And for me, it's always been good to have like a little bit of both. I love working remotely, but I also love those times where I get infused with the energy of others. Surely also very much depends on the kind of job you do. It depends on if you're an introvert or an extrovert. So there is a lot of pros and cons for both sides of it. But I fully agree. Usually if companies think that overall their people are more productive in the office, it usually is a trust issue.
So Paulina, this topic about remote culture and so on, it's kind of like when we started talking about it, we wanted to do an episode. I think we actually figured out that this is going to be a two-part episode, right?
At least, yes.
At least, maybe.
Huge topic.
Yeah. So we are going to cut it short for this episode, and then we're going to pick it up for next week and just continue there on.
Yes, let's do that. That sounds like a good plan, Lars.
Cool. So for everybody listening out there, tune in next week as well when the second part of this one comes out. I think Pauline is going to share a success story about like how do you actually manage success with a remote culture instead of being suspicious and want everybody to come back into the office. So tune in next week. And as always, remember to give a like, remember to share, remember to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. The algorithm loves it. Paulina, just share with the listeners, where can they find you and how could they get hold of you if they have anything that they want to share with you or even maybe talk to you about culture?
Yes. So obviously, as always, we love if you guys reach out to us and share your personal stories that we will share then in this podcast, either in person. So you're always welcome to join as our next guest, or we can in quotation marks, tell your story for you if you want to stay anonymous. And you can always reach out to me either through LinkedIn. Lars and I will put up all the social media handles and all the links in the show notes. You can also find my company under culturecodefoundation.com. There you can find what we're doing as a business, and you can find me on Instagram, and you can find the podcast both on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and YouTube if you want to see our beautiful faces.
Oh yeah, we are available everywhere.
That's a misleading statement.
Oh shit. Fuck, I'm gonna pull that back. I might delete that from the podcast. Let's see. Okay, thank you everybody for listening in and have a great and remember company culture is the basis and foundation of every great successful company out there. So keep it up and make sure that you contribute to a great company culture every single day.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Lars, and thank you to all of our listeners out there. We love to do this for you.